Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
I want to thank all of our online family for being with us today. And there's a lot of reasons why people don't come to church or can't come to church, but we think this is the best place for you to be on a Sunday. But if you can't be here, bringing what God is doing here to where you are is the next best thing. And can I, before we read this scripture, I've been celebrating the 124 yeses last Sunday that said yes to Jesus. I've been thinking about it and celebrating it all week long. We've been in contact with many of them, and we're so excited about what God is doing here. But let's talk about the now. Luke chapter 2, four verses for your reading. The NIV says it like this: today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Somebody say amen. So that's good news, right? That's good news. Not bad news, not fake news. That's good news. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Before I let you sit down, I want to point this out because I don't know if I'll ever get back to this point. On earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. This is not a contradiction in the Bible. Jesus did not come to bring peace to the earth. He came to bring peace to people. Jesus actually said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring what? Division. And so when he showed up, it's not a peaceful thing. He's drawing a line in the sand. But when he shows up, he says, I will bring peace to those whom my favor rests upon. How many of you are favored by God in the house today? All right, amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him this is the sound of Christmas. Turn to your second choice neighbor and ask him, do you hear what I hear? Turn to your third choice neighbor. Oh, man, we're digging deep now. Third choice neighbor. And ask him, did you hear that? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I love Christmas. Favorite holiday of the year. Favorite holiday of the year, celebrating Jesus, time spent with family, traditions. My mom's from Louisiana, and so our Christmas meal is always fried shrimp, boiled shrimp, grilled shrimp. Sometimes she's making shrimp etouffee or jambalaya. I mean, that's Christmas to me. The turkey can stay on Thanksgiving, and I can eat a ham sandwich anytime. Christmas time is seafood, shrimp time. I love Christmas tree. Pastor Mandy's allergic to Christmas trees, and she won't tell me which kind because I think this allergy is something she's using so she don't have to clean up pine needles all over her house. So at our very first Christmas 20 years ago, she's like, we can't get a real tree, we got to get a fake tree, which I was mad about at first, but we're only on our second fake tree. So we've saved a lot of money over these Christmases. And so I said, but I love the smell. She said, I'll make sure I supply you with all the candles you need that smell like Christmas trees. And so I love the tradition of Christmas. I love the sights of Christmas. I shared on Wednesday night, I hope that you didn't go to Rolling Oaks Mall looking for Santa Claus. That's the saddest display in the world. I think some of our missions budget this year needs to go to Rolling Oaks Mall so they can build a proper set for Santa. But I went out there and you hear the music, you see Christmas trees and candy canes and all of this. And all of this is, of course, man-made traditions. But for us, it helps us point towards the real reason we celebrate, which is Jesus. So I love the sights of Christmas, but I love the sounds of Christmas. I remember growing up, the day after Thanksgiving, I forgot the call letters, but 101.9 FM, this was before Sirius and XM, this was before iPods, this was back when we had cassettes and CDs and 8-tracks. All the 8-track people say amen. There's not that many 8-track people in this house. Cassettes and CDs, but I remember 101.9, the day after Christmas, they would start playing Christmas music. And we are that family that celebrates Christmas in November. We are that family that puts up a Christmas tree in October. We put our Christmas tree up before we put any pumpkins out for Halloween, praise God. We're that family that likes the visual but we also like the sound. How many of you love Christmas music? Raise your hand, make some noise. How many of you can't stand Christmas music? Tyler's the only one. Pray for Oh, there's another one. Rob's another one. That measures out that both of them wouldn't like the festivity of Christmas music. But I love Christmas music. I grew up on Christmas music like Bing Crosby. I remember Bing Crosby. I remember my mom playing that record. It was an album over and over. That thing got so scratched up that we had to buy the CD when it came out. But I love the sound of Christmas. I love Christmas songs. At the count of three, everybody shout out your favorite Christmas song. One, two, three, go. Feliz Navidad, that's a good one. But I like, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Then I like, that was the Bing Crosby verse. Then I like Andy Williams. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Then I like, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir and folks dressed up like Eskimo. I like that. That's as close to Temptations as this white boy is going to get. And then we all know the, don't want a life for Christmas. Mariah Carey is now like the grown-up version on Elf on the Shelf. We don't know where she's going to pop up, but every day it's somewhere new. But I love, see, you can have fun in church. Christmas has that sound, church. But when Jesus was born, a sound happened that had never happened before. It was a sound that millions, actually, let me rephrase that, billions of people would hear in their lifetime. However, when Jesus and the sound of the first Christmas happened, listen to what I'm going to say, church. There was only a handful of people that heard it. But those handful of people that heard Jesus and his voice and that sound, those five or six would turn into 10 or 12, which would turn into 50 or 60. And here we are years, 2,000 years later, and millions and now billions of people have heard the sound, all because when one person heard the sound, it was so life-changing that they could not keep it to themselves. One of the most annoying sounds in the world is a baby crying that's not your baby. A second close annoying sound is a baby crying that is your baby. No one likes a baby's cry except the mother who fought for 9 months to bring that baby into being. If the baby doesn't cry when it's born, what does the doctor do? Smacks him. Because they want to make sure that that baby is healthy and alive, and what is in its lungs or in its air passageways are cleared. And so I want to tell you, there are so many people in 2022 that do not like the sound of Christmas, not because of Christmas carols, not because of nativity scene. What they really don't like is the fact that Jesus is on the scene, and because it's not their baby, they don't celebrate it. Because they haven't been exposed to him as Savior and Lord, they're not celebrating. But for those of us who he's our Jesus, we don't mind the cry, because we knew what we had to do to get to where we are and what he had to do. The sound of the baby's cry. Not him preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Not him casting out a devil called Legion. Not him saying, Lazarus, come forth. All of that is going to happen in due time, but in Bethlehem on a cold, clear, crisp night, the silence is broken by the voice of Jesus. Jesus was born in a time when the nation of Israel was desperate for a word. Desperate for a word. For 400 years, between Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, and Luke and all the other gospels, for 400 years, God had not spoken a word. That makes me so glad that I'm alive in 2022, because I'll preach about me for the next minute, not you. Sometimes I get impatient when I haven't heard God for 4 minutes after I asked him a question. Sometimes I get impatient when I'm in day 4, week 4, month 4, and it doesn't sound like heaven has heard me and that God is speaking to me and changing my life. Can I encourage you? You should thank God that God speaks to you. You should thank God that we now have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us that is speaking to us. You should thank God that there are 66 books of his word, that if he never spoke an audible word, if he never moved in your spirit again, you have 66. I have 66 books of his voice in our lives that is teaching us how to live and become what he has created us to be. But for 400 years, God has not spoken. For 400 years, don't you know, after a week or two, they're saying, man, you think God forgot about us? What about the second generation? What about raising children and talking about a God that moves, a God that loves, and a God that works, but he hasn't talked to us in 50 years? What do you tell your children? Don't you know by the third or fourth generation, that's all just myth and that's all just hype? God really doesn't speak. I know Grandpa talks about a time he did, but I don't think he really did. And so when Jesus comes back onto the scene, when Jesus begins to speak, when the cry of a newborn baby in a manger happens, it is not just, oh, he is here. The heavens had opened back up, and the God that was silent is now speaking again. That's the sound of Christmas. It is God's voice speaking to a world, and he's speaking to his sons and daughters. But he's also calling to those who are lost, calling to those who are addicted, calling to those who are steeped in sin, calling to those who are living below his value, calling to those who are lost and don't know how to get found. It's the real sound of Christmas. It's not songs. It's not Christmas movies. It's not tradition. It's the God that had zipped his lip for 4 centuries saying, I'm getting ready to speak again. But this time when I speak, it's not going to be a moving in the spirit. It's going to be an audible voice that I put in a little baby. And that baby is going to grow up to be the greatest thing that has ever happened. Jesus was born, and the nation of Israel is desperate for the sound of a word. At this point, they would have settled for anything. How many of you are texters in the house today? You text a lot. How many of you have somebody in your life that you can text a life story to and they're going to respond with one letter, K? You pour your heart out, K. You ask them to do something, K. I'm going to need a little bit more than that. I just told you my life story. I asked you 5 questions. K is not an acceptable response. I need answers. Don't you know why they're praying for 400 years? Don't you know when they're on their knees trying to talk to God and talking to God? Don't you know they would have loved at some point for there just to have been from heaven? K. Like, okay, God, you hear me. That's all I needed to know was you heard me. Has anyone ever talked to God and he didn't talk back? I'm the only one. Says Tammy's the only one. We're the only ones that we've talked to him on Monday and he didn't get back to us on Friday. I'm going to tell you, when I don't hear from God, it's like I literally can't catch my breath. His word is my life. I'm used to talking to him every day and him talking back. I'm used to asking him questions and him answering. I'm used to bouncing ideas off of him. And him saying, oh, don't do that. That would be detrimental. Oh, don't do that. That would cause a problem. Yes, do that. I'm so used to hearing the voice of God. I cannot imagine for 400 years getting down on your knees every night talking to God and you can't get a K. You can't get a response back. You can't get a thumbs up, a thumbs down. You can't get a stop, wait, proceed. You can't get any of that. And for 400 years, prayers are going one way and there's no word. But then on a night in Bethlehem, the babies cry. We know Mary and Joseph were there to hear that cry. As Mandy described to us during the offering, the wise men weren't there for at least 2 years because the Bible says that the wise man entered a house at where the child was. He was a toddler between 2 and 3 years of age. We always say there was 3 shepherds that show up, but it might have been 5 shepherds, 12 shepherds, 2 shepherds. But I do know this, there was only a handful of people that heard the cry. But somehow word got out, Sean, that something happened in that manger, in that stable, that is life-changing. It wasn't the aurora borealis in the northern sky. It was a host of 1,000 angelic beings saying, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Gabriel is standing there. It was a sight to be seen where other people looked in the sky and said, did you hear something? Did you see something? And they did not know what they heard. They just knew they heard something. I am here to encourage you and tell you that you are living in the greatest time to ever be alive, because this is not a time when God is silent. This is a time when God is speaking. God speaks to me through the news that I watch. God speaks to me through the people that I've surrounded myself with. When I pray, God talks back. When I worship, God talks back. When I hit my knees in my office or in my bedroom, God is talking back. It is the sound of Christmas, and that sound of Christmas, it saves me. That sound of Christmas sanctified me, and that sound of Christmas, it pushes me forward to be what God has called me to be. It is the sound of Christmas. When the Old Testament leaves off, the Jews have now returned back from Babylonian captivity, and the Persian Empire is in full swing. But for the next 400 years, the Persians come and go. The Greeks had their time, but now the Romans rule the world, and now Jesus has made his entry, first entry to the world in the form of a baby. When Jesus shows up, listen to this, church, and I don't want to get too teachy because I want to preach this for the next 7.5 minutes. When Jesus shows up to this earth, in 30 years, Jesus fulfills somewhere between 300 and 456 prophecies that were written in the Old Testament. Just by him showing up and living his life. That's why my prayers for the Jews that are alive today, that they would wake up to the resurrection of Jesus. That he's not just a prophet. He is the Messiah that was prophesied. He is the coming King, and he's here today. I am here to encourage you and I. We have been given a gift of revelation on who Jesus is. And when you read the Old Testament is pointing, saying, there's one coming. Jesus is coming. The New Testament and Gospels tell us Jesus has showed up. Jesus has showed up. Paul's letters write to us and say, this is how you follow Jesus. This is how you become a disciple of Jesus. And then John, in his book called Revelation, this tells us that Jesus is coming again. Aren't you glad that you are not a Jew that does not understand the word of God and they're looking for a Messiah that has already shown up? A lot of times we miss the miracle and it's already in our house. A lot of us miss the sound we're already hearing. I am here to tell you what you and I need is not far away. If you know Jesus, that is the sound. That's the sound of a new tomorrow. That's the sound of repentance. That's the sound. So hungry for a word, so hungry that they miss the meal. Jesus shows up, and Bible history, some Jewish professors say 456 prophecies that came 4,000 years before. Genesis chapter 3, the first prophecy of Christ comes. 456 at the most are completed in Jesus, and we still have people saying, that's not him. Because they missed the sound. And church, let me just work this for about 90 seconds. Some of us miss the sound because we don't like the melody. Some of us miss what God is saying because we don't like how he said it. Some of us don't like how he's moving because it's different than the way we would have him move. Jesus shows up, 8 pounds, 8 ounces, crying, splitting the night, and doing away with silence. And some people are saying, will you shut up that baby because a king is about to be born? Will you silence that infant? Because there's a king that is going to be raised up in Israel, and we expect him to come riding in on a white horse. We expect a lot of pomp and circumstance. We expect him to be born in the best hospital in Jerusalem. But here's a baby, and they're saying, well, somebody silence that sound. And they're saying, we're looking for the answer, but we don't like that sound. And what they don't understand is because they don't like the melody, they have killed the message, they have killed the sound. And I'm thinking in my life, let me talk about me. How many times have I missed a miracle because God was doing it in a way that had never been done before? How many times have I missed a miracle because a sound that was annoying to me was literally the sound of God showing up in my life, but I avoided that because I didn't understand or like the sound. That's why it's always perturbed me. It's disturbed me. I don't understand how people can say, well, I just don't like that style of worship. I don't like that worship song when it's not for you. What you're saying is you don't like the sound. It's not about the sound, it's about the message. What are the lyrics saying? Because if the lyrics are saying the right thing, I can get behind a banjo, I can get behind some electronic music. I'm not much of a rap fan, at least this mumble rap, but if you're mumbling about Jesus, I'll even get behind that, because it's not about how the sound sounds, it's about what the sound means. And when Jesus cries, it means the King has shown up. The king has shown up. Jesus was still king at 2 minutes old. Jesus was still Messiah at 2 minutes old. Jesus crying in the night is still the great physician. Is still the deliverer. Come on. See, we are in some ways waiting for God to be God. He's always been God. We are not waiting on God. If anything, God is waiting on us to recognize that sound that is coming. At the end of our life, when Jesus comes back and splits the eastern sky, how are we going to know Jesus is back? By the sound of a trumpet. I want to encourage somebody in the last 3 minutes of this message to start listening for the sound. There was a lot of people in the New Testament that were always looking for signs. And Jesus even rebuked some of them that were always looking for signs, because anybody can see something. There was people who saw Jesus raise up the dead, saw him go to the cross, and still didn't follow him. He said, there's something more than just the sight. He said, I want you to hear what I'm doing. I want you to hear what I'm saying. And I want you to hear what is about to happen in your life. Prophecy, we call prophets seers. But how do prophets explain what they see? They do it by sound. They tell you what you're about to see. That baby in a manger was announcing to the world, I'm here, and I'm going to change some things. I'm here, and I'm going to save some people. I'm here, and I'm going to kick the devil's tail. I'm here, and I'm going to cure and deliver the crack addict. I'm here, and I'm going to make sure that that 14-year-old young lady that's pregnant is not discarded. Because guess what? He knows what it's like to have a mother who was young and pregnant and people looking down on her. He was announcing to the world, I am here. And the Bible says, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because we still got next week. The Bible says that the shepherds that came, that heard the angelic host and heard the proclamation, show up at the manger and they see Jesus just as was prophesied. And the Bible says they left and they begun to tell people, something happened last night. That's not just an ordinary baby. I know his cries sounded ordinary, but that baby's special. That baby's going to grow up and do something great in his life. And I want to share this with somebody before I stop today. Jesus was born in a manger, but he grew up to do great things. I want to talk about people that have said yes to Jesus recently. Don't let Jesus stay a baby in your life. Let him grow in you till Christ be formed in you, is what the writer said. Let Jesus become stronger in you, because his strength in your weakness is your strength. Let him become the guidance of your life. Let him become the defender of your faith. Let him become the God of the New Testament.